with me this morning. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. God, to be able to worship you, to stand among brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, there's so many times in life where we feel like we're alone and maybe we're fighting these battles alone. And Lord, while each of us have different situations and circumstances in life, we're all fighting the same fight. Lord, for one, it may be physical ailments. For another, it may be family. For others, it may be jobs or circumstances, friends, relationships, God. Lord, there's so many things in life that try to bring us down, that Satan tries to use us to discourage us. But God, we're all fighting the same fight. Lord, we belong to you. We're yours, and we're brothers and sisters. And God, as we look around this morning and we look at the people who are standing beside us, God, we all desperately need you. God, we just throw up our hands today, and Lord, we just want to praise you. We just want to thank you for what it is that you've done for us, for giving us eternal life, for giving us salvation, for giving us forgiveness of sin. And God, I pray that we wouldn't take it for granted. God, I pray that we would just open up our eyes and see today that you've called us to so much more than just treading through life, waiting to meet you in eternity. Lord, you have amazing task, amazing journeys, amazing possibilities for us to live for you and to serve you. And God, I pray this morning that we would not cheat you out of the things that you've called us to do. God, I pray for each individual in this room. God, I pray for myself. I pray for our kids. I even pray for the babies in the nursery. God, you have a plan for all of our lives. Lord, you created us in our mother's womb with the understanding that there would be this day and time, that we would live in a world of COVID and chaos and political chaos. And God, you knew that we would all be here in this moment. And Lord, you've planned it all long ago. Help us to have faith in you to work all these things out. And Lord, to just remain faithful to you in the midst of all of it. God, help us today to be your servants and to surrender to you the way you've called us to. We love you, and we ask all this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it is good to see you today. I do appreciate you guys letting me be out last week. I don't think you would have liked for me to be here. I was pretty sick and felt terrible, and so we didn't want to give it to you. I just want to say a special thank you to the staff and especially Pastor Timmy. I don't know if you guys have ever had to do this or not, but I called him about 6:30 last Sunday morning and told him I wasn't going to be there, and I said, my sermon's on my desk. It's yours. And so 6:30 Sunday morning, he had to look over a sermon, make his own notes, and preach a message that he didn't prepare, and that's extremely difficult. I've told you guys several times, I have a hard time delivering my own sermons without getting nervous, so that would be a nightmare to me to get that call on Sunday morning and have to do that. I never had to do that, and so I'm thankful for him being able to do that and take care of that for me. So thank you, Timmy. And he was preaching the first half of the sermon. As I was writing last week, preparing the message, it was kind of another one of those things. The pages kept creeping up, and it ended up being around 6 pages, and I cut it off, and I was like, okay, we got to bust this thing up, because I don't want to keep these guys here. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I know many of you have plans, and you want to go out to eat after church, so happy Valentine's Day. I'm not going to keep you here forever. This is the second half of last week's sermon. You're welcome, and we are still talking about multiplying ourselves. We've said this time and time again throughout the past several weeks as we've talked about this, of the understanding that Jesus Christ has saved you for more than just eternal life. He has saved you. He has forgiven you of your sins. He's come into your heart. He's freed you from the guilt in your life. He's made that way possible for you to have eternal life. But he's done it for more than just for you to inherit eternal life. And it's more than just for you not to sin, too. Now, I mean, I want you to think about that. And I want to be really careful this morning, because what we believe in our church and our denomination is that we should abstain from sin, that God has called us to holiness. And so I don't want to make light of that, but at the same time, I want you to understand that your relationship with God revolves around so much more than just you not sinning. You with me today? That you are called to something so much more than just worrying about whether or not you're going to sin. God has placed a calling on your life, and you and I are called to multiply ourselves. And this isn't like, okay, you're called to get married and have babies and multiply yourself numerically. No, you are called to multiply yourself on a spiritual note. All right? You are called to be a witness and a minister of the gospel. And there should be people in this world who are spiritually impacted by your salvation and your life and your ministry and your testimony. That is something that God has called you to do. You can't run from that. You can't escape that. You can't deny that. And it's one of the biggest things that we as Christians in America that we have neglected so much is the simple understanding that this morning, and I'm going to say this again, I'm going to say it several times, I don't know how many people God has called you to minister to. I don't know. I can't throw that number up there. And I don't think any of us know the number. You with me? Like, there's not this magic number that one day I'm going to witness to 10 people, and then when I get my 10, then I'm done. No. God has called you to be a witness and a minister of His gospel, and you need to know that it's at least one person. At least one. And it may be the only person that you ever reach, but God has called you to reach at least one. And I don't know about you guys, but being a witness and speaking to people about Jesus and seeing people get saved is extremely difficult. Anybody ever had that experience? You've tried to witness and minister to people? It's hard, right? Is it uncomfortable? It can be painful sometimes. It's super uncomfortable. It's difficult. And I'm not going out on the streets every weekend or every week, and I don't have these massive numbers of salvations reported from my personal ministry and evangelizing to people and stuff like that. It's an extremely difficult process. But you listening to me this morning? I want you to understand that Jesus Christ has called you to reach at least one person. You have the calling on your life to reach at least one. It is a difficult calling, and you're not going to be able to accomplish it underneath your own strength or your own wisdom or your own ability. It's going to take the help and the mercy and the gifts of Jesus Christ for you to accomplish at least that one and hopefully more. But I want to let you know today that if you're sitting here this morning, you say, you just take this into account right now. Has anyone ever made a profession of faith or change their life as a result of you ministering and witnessing to them? And if they haven't, if you can't think of like somebody or somebody that you witnessed to and you had an impact on their life right now, that's okay, but I want you to understand at least one. You should walk out of this room today knowing that God did not just call you to salvation to have eternal life so that one day you're just treading the water until you go and be with the Lord. He did not call you to salvation so that you could just abstain from sin and take all the fun out of your life. He called you to a purpose. And there's at least one person that He's called you and that He's gifted you to reach. And you have to believe that this morning. You have to have faith to believe that He's called you to do that in order for you to even seek and take the time and the effort and energy to make that happen in your life and for invite God to help you make that happen in your life. But we've been reading in John chapter 12, verses 23 through 26. And I'm going to invite you guys to stand out of reverence to the Lord. We don't always do this, but this is the last time we're going to read this passage. I don't know of any other passage that so clearly communicates the need for us to put things, relationships, desires, hopes, dreams to death in order to live for Christ than this one. But in verse 23, Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into His glory. And I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." And in that passage, that verse right there alone, Jesus is acknowledging the fact and the importance of putting his life, his dreams and hopes and abilities that he had, even as a human being, to death so that there could be new lives harvested. And you're sitting in here this morning, and it's so important for you to understand that you have a life, right? How many of you have a life? How many of you have busy lives? How many of you basically look at a calendar and you just like are depressed because it's extremely difficult to even find somewhere to fit something new in? There is a need for us to put things in our life to death so that the ministry of Christ can take place and happen in our lives. If you don't put stuff to death, it's not going to happen. There's a need for that to take place in our lives. And Jesus understood this, both in a literal and figurative sense, that there's things that we need to put to death, and there's even certain aspects of who we are that needs to be put to death so that ministry can happen and new lives can be harvested. In verse 25, it says, those who love their lives in this world will lose it. You have lives. You have busy lives. And your life is important. And there are things in your life that are important to you that you hold very dearly. But Jesus said time and time again, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. And anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. There is a calling on your life that you cannot deny. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. Jesus Christ has called you to be a witness and a minister of the gospel just as he is. And it doesn't mean that you're going to reach thousands or hundreds or millions, but at least one. There should be at least one person in your life that you reach in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want us to cling to that today. You may be seated. Now, last week, Pastor Timmy talked about being open to change and staying relevant, and those are important. And this is just picking up for the new points that we had that were coming in that sermon. So point number one this morning is stick to your spiritual gifts. It's very important for you to understand that every single person in this room, if you claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift. Stick to your spiritual gifts. Some of you have multiples. You'll find out that people who are called in ministry tend to have multiple spiritual gifts. Not everybody has multiple spiritual gifts. Some people only have one. Some people have a few. Some people have a lot. We don't decide what God has gifted us with, but I want you to understand this morning, just as you were called to reach one person, you have at least one spiritual gift if you believe and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He has gifted you with that. But you have to believe that this morning. You have to trust in that. And you got to stick to it, because here's the problem. Most of the time, people who are attending church either don't exercise their spiritual gifts at all. Some people aren't even aware that they have them, and then they don't use them, and they never use them for the kingdom. And then you have some people who really want to serve Christ, but they go beyond what God has gifted them in. And you've probably witnessed that not only in the church, but even in the world. There are some people who pursue certain things and want to do things that they're just not gifted in. Anybody ever watch American Idol? It got famous really quick in the early 2000s because there were all these people who were willing to go on camera in front of the entire world because they really believed that they could sing, and they could not sing. And they were the most entertaining ones because they really believed it, and they would get so mad when they was like, "You're terrible, horrendous." And they would get mad, but they couldn't sing, and everybody else knew it, but they didn't. We have to stay within our spiritual gifts so that we can serve the Lord the way that he's called us to. If you don't, you're going to be more disruptive than productive. You with me today? If you try to go outside what the Lord has gifted you in, you're going to be more disruptive than you are productive. You've seen people at work. You've seen people in your life who are serving in positions, who are doing things that they're just not gifted to do. And it's chaos. And it's not that they're bad people or they're trying to do bad things. We just have to realize what God has gifted us in and obey those spiritual callings in our life. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 9. He writes to the church in Rome, and he's talking about spiritual gifts. When you look at New Testament scripture, there's so much scripture that's talking about the differences of people in the body of Christ, how we're all different parts of the body of Christ. We all function in different capacities, but we all work together to make the body of Christ function as it should. And spiritual gifts are a part of us functioning in different capacities. And in verse 6, he says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. If you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, and if you asked him to come in your life and save you from your sins, and you believe that you are saved, you have to believe that Jesus has gifted you with the ability to do certain things, or at least one thing, well. And sometimes in the American church, we've kind of created like this image of what the church should be. But guys, I'm going to tell you, the majority of the ministry inside the church goes on behind closed doors. What you see is happening up here, this is just like one very small, minute part of what Graham Chapel is. The ministry of Graham Chapel happens Monday through Saturday when people are going and doing the work of the Lord behind the closed doors when nobody else sees it. You with me this morning? That's real, true ministry. And so a lot of times people get this thing in their head, well, I can't preach and I can't teach a class, and I hate kids, so I don't want to serve in children's ministry. And, you know, it's like there's all these things that we just think like, well, this is my... There's so many different gifts that you can have and you can be gifted with to do well, and you have to believe that God has gifted you with it. And you have to be looking for it and praying and asking God to reveal that to you. We're all gifted differently, and no gift is greater than the other. You with me today? One thing that you read in Scripture that you see time and time again, and you see it affirmed again and again, the things that we view in this world that are great, God doesn't see them as great. It's always the least that are considered the greatest. And so there could be things in your life that you're gifted with and doing well, and it doesn't seem like that's important, when in reality, it's probably the most important thing that needs to be done, but no one else is doing it because everyone else feels like it's not that important. But it's actually the greatest. And Paul goes on to say, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. That's one of those things. It's like, we don't want to serve others. How many of you want to be a servant? Nobody. Nobody grew up saying, when I'm little, I want to serve people. That's what I want to do. I don't think there's a degree for that in college. But that's a gift. Do it well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, but really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. And Paul's writing to the church and he's saying, look, when you have these spiritual gifts and you're exercising them the way that God has called you to, you are actually showing love to one another. You're supposed to do these spiritual gifts, do them well, so that when you love other people, you can love them well in the way that God has gifted you to love them. You follow me this morning? This is important. This is huge. This can be life-changing for your spiritual life. All right? And if it's life-changing for your spiritual life, it'll be life-changing for your physical life too, because your life will change in order to do the things that God has called you to do. And so Paul talks about a few spiritual gifts, and today we have all these lists of spiritual gifts. I'm going to share a list of spiritual gifts with you this morning that I got. I think it was a pretty good list. Some of them overlap a little bit. But what I want to do is we're going to talk about some of these, and I want to encourage you guys to just kind of identify some of these things that you think the Lord may have gifted you in that you can identify and hopefully start using some of these things to better minister and witness to other people, to serve inside the body of Christ. A lot of times we always think that serving in the church is serving on Sunday morning, finding something to do. It's not. It's just one small part. It's just a couple hours out of the rest of the week. The church operates Sunday through Sunday, every day of the week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, calling people, encouraging people, sending cards, doing all kinds of stuff. There's so much stuff that you can do to be a witness and a minister for Jesus Christ. Don't sell yourself short. But the trick is when you look at some of these things that I'm about to read, you're going to be more naturally drawn to some. You with me? There's going to be some things that you want to do, like you want to have the spiritual gift, but God may not have blessed you in this, and so you need to make sure that if this is something that you think you have, or maybe a spiritual gift that you would like to have, you need to make sure that you have people who are affirming this gift in your life. There's nothing more painful than watching someone do something they're not gifted to do, right? I mean, like sometimes it's just like you're watching back whenever we used to watch American Idol when I was in college. It was hilarious, but it's just like, oh man, it was just, sometimes it was just painful to watch. And it is, and it could be painful even inside the church, because there's some people who try to do things that they're just not gifted to do, and you're more disruptive than you're productive. And it's not like you're purposefully trying to do bad, but there are things that God has gifted us to do. We need to cling to those things and allow God to develop them in our life. So let's start with the list. The first one on the list is administration. And this has a lot to do with leadership and organization. And when you look at our culture today, you kind of got to understand that the way administration has started evolving, especially in the business world and even in the church world, it's not necessarily even the administrator is the person in charge anymore. Like they're one of the leaders, but they're not the leader. And so a lot of people gravitate towards administration because of leadership and organization. You ever heard the term, too many chiefs and not enough Indians? There's a reason why that's said. You put a bunch of people in a room. I mean, you can watch this on Survivor. I'm using a lot of TV shows as an example. You watch Survivor, everybody's like clawing and grasping to be the leader as soon as you stick them on the island. People do that. Like you can put a group of students together in a classroom and there's like kids fighting over who's going to be the leader, who's going to be the one telling everybody else what to do. People gravitate towards leadership, but we have to be careful because God has not gifted everybody to be leaders. There's some of you in here that God has gifted you to lead, to be organized, to help other people, to have these administrative skills. And a lot of people, God hasn't blessed you with that gift, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that you're one is greater than the other, but in our world, we perceive one as being greater than the other. You understand what I'm saying? So if this is something you feel like this might be a gift in your life, that's great, but make sure it's affirmed by someone else or other people of saying, yes, I see these gifts in your life. You're doing really well at this. If you're doing this and no one's complimenting you, but they're not saying anything bad, if you don't have anything nice to say, you don't say anything at all. Some people just don't want to be mean. There's very few people who's going to come up and say, hey, you really stink at this, but I love you. Have it affirmed in your life. Being an apostle, preaching and teaching. This is another one of those things. Not everybody's gifted in this. Some people are. There's some of you in here today, you're gifted in this area. And you may not even know it, but you've never exercised it. You never tried it. You've never stepped out on faith to see if this is something that God has blessed you with in your life. And it could be one of those things that you might have an incredible gift, but until you step out and try and put yourself out there, you're never going to know. Discernment. We need wisdom and guidance in decision-making around the church. Very thankful for a board. You know, we just had we had a board meeting last month. It wasn't super tense, but we had an issue that we were talking about that we was like split right down the middle of stuff that we were like, oh, I'm not really sure. And some people were like, yeah, let's do it. We got to have wisdom and discernment. We need people who are willing to look at all the facts and decisions. Some people are gifted in that and some people aren't. It doesn't mean one is less than the other. Evangelism, successfully sharing the gospel with people. This is one of the things that like some people are just naturally God-given gifted in this. And we'll talk a little bit about this more later. I don't have this gift. It's kind of weird. You're like, what? You don't? How can you? If you're a pastor, I stink at this. Like I have visible representation of telling you how bad I am at this. So we'll talk about it later. But it's not my gift. But some of you are gifted in sharing the gospel with people. And it's one of those things that you could be gifted in several different ways. There are people who love sharing the message of the gospel with people, but they're not good with words. And I know people who order their own personal tracts, their own personal salvation tracts, and they will hand them out because they want people to know about Jesus Christ, but they know that they're not gifted with the words and they have a hard time like communicating what they're thinking in that moment and spare the moment. And so they hand out gospel tracts and they do different things like that for people to present the gospel to people. Exhortation, giving messages, motivating, warning, lifting up and encouraging. Not everybody's gifted in that. There are certain people that I've ran across in my life, and I'm like, man, like they're so positive, they're so affirming, they find a way to compliment even in the midst of whenever there's nothing to compliment. It's like, how do you do that? It's amazing. Some people are just gifted in that. Faith. There are some people who just simply believe that God can do anything. Now I don't know about y'all. Like, I believe that God can do amazing and great things, but I don't have that faith that God can just do, like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, sometimes it's just difficult to believe that God can do this. God can take this and do anything. But there's some people who are just gifted in believing that God can do anything, right? You ever met them? It's like, sometimes you're like, they're crazy. Because if you think more practically and you look at people who are thinking and living by faith, you're like, how do you do that? It's some people are gifted in it and some people aren't. Giving. Some people are gifted in giving. And there's a lot of different things that you can give. You guys know this. There are some people, they can take manure and turn it into gold. Some people can just touch dirt and it turns to money. And some of those people have the gift of being able to give financially. There's some of you in this room who have more time to give than other people. That's huge. And for you to be in a position in life where you have time to give is incredible, because there's a lot of people who would give anything to have more time. And so just being in that position of giving time. Some of you are great at giving gifts. Not everybody's good. It's like, you ever have that one family member that, you know, when you draw names out of the hat and then you get a gift from them, you're like, oh no, there's no telling what I'm going to get. And they're just terrible at giving gifts. And then you get mad because somebody else got the good gift giver in the family. It's like some people are gifted in that. And it could be anything. Food, cards. Some of you are great cooks. I don't know if you realize this or not. It's an amazing blessing to be able to cook. Some people have lived in a home for years with someone who did not know how to cook. It's an amazing blessing to give food. Cards, writing encouragements. We had some people sending out letters this past week to some of our shut-ins. I got several calls from some of our shut-ins because they received cards this week. And they were like, who are these people? I don't know them. They're like, we really appreciate the cards. We just want to tell them thank you. That's huge. That's a huge part of being in the body of Christ. Healing. And we're not just talking about miraculous healing, because there are miraculous healings. But we're also talking about emotional, mental, you know, we're talking about physical doctors and therapists. And in that whole process, there's great opportunities for ministry to take place. My wife has a great ministry, like where she meets with all these people who are coming in, these kids who are sick, and sending kids to the hospital and diagnosing kids with cancer and dealing with chronic issues of people coming in and their families and their kids. And she gets to pray with these people and she gets to like continuously be a part of their life. It's a great opportunity for ministry to take place. Helps. This is kind of that serving role that no one really wants to do. But just being able to be supportive and assisting and enabling other people to focus is something that most people in America don't do. Because we don't want to serve other people. We want to be in charge. We want to lead. We want to be what we view as successful. And in the church, there are people who we just need to serve. And Jesus said, the least among you will be the greatest on that day. So, it may not seem like a very glorified thing now, but you may very well be the one who will sit at the very right hand of Jesus on Judgment Day because you served and did what no one else wanted to do or no one else thought was important. Hospitality, the ability to make others feel comfortable and welcome, is huge.
I think back to when I first came to Graham Chapel as a teenager, and Erlen used to sit on the front porch and welcome people, and he knew exactly what to say to make me feel welcome. I'll never forget one of the things he said as I came early on that made me want to come back next week and gave me the desire to do that. That was a gift that he had and he used. Not everybody has that gift. It was a huge impact in my life, but just being hospitable to other people. The gift of knowledge, the ability to have information in both scripture and other things. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's like that one person in your life that you can call, and like if they probably know it. Instead of having to go dig and dig and dig for hours to find something, you know, you could just call somebody and ask them. That's a gift. There are some people who can just absorb information and retain it and understand things beyond what most people can. That's a huge gift. Leadership. The ability to motivate, direct, and care for people or tasks. Again, this is one of those things that a lot of people were drawn to because it seems like it's important. In our lives, we have this natural desire that we want to be important. We want to know that what we're doing with our life has value, and so we're drawn to things like this. And I want to tell you this morning, I just want to remind you, there's some of you in here, God has called you to be great leaders. He has. But a lot of people do not get the gift of leadership, but it doesn't mean that you're not important, and it doesn't mean that what God has gifted you with is any less than someone who's gifted to lead. Because I'm telling you, leaders are absolutely useless if they don't have people to lead. You with me today? They can't lead if there's nobody to lead. And so we all have our part. Mercy, the ability to sympathize and have empathy with other people. Prophecy, despite what Kiki and Destiny will tell you, I'm not a prophet. We used to go out in public whenever I was doing youth and they were teenagers, and they would constantly refer to me as Prophet James in front of complete strangers. And I'm like, people are going to think we're a cult. Stop doing this. I'm not a prophet. But there are some people who have the gift of prophecy. Many of the books in the Old Testament are books of prophecy. Over 400 specific prophecies completely devoted to the coming of Jesus Christ. All of it leading up to what God is going to do. It's a message from the Lord of what God is going to do so that people can be prepared and ready to go. So they can fall in line with God's plans. Serving. Identifying needs and making sure that they're tended to. We need those. Speaking in tongues. Well, be careful with this one, because I want you to understand, as our church and our denomination, this isn't a gift that we necessarily promote. Like, we don't encourage people to speak in tongues, but we don't look down on anyone who speaks in tongues either. It's a gift. It's mentioned in Scripture. There are people in our congregation who has experienced speaking in tongues personally. They've seen it, they've witnessed it, and they've done it themselves. It's a great thing if you have that gift. It can be very confusing. It can be very abused if you're not careful. But speaking in tongues is a gift of the Spirit. And if that's something that God has gifted you with, use it in the way that God calls you to use that. Teaching. Some of you, we have some amazing teachers in our congregation that have already been affirmed, but there's some of you out here who have the gift of teaching to communicate Scripture effectively so that people can understand and apply it to their lives. Some of you are gifted in that and you don't even know it yet. And again, it's one of those things. People are not going to be able to affirm this gift until you step out on faith and try it and be willing to say, hey, I'm not very good at this, or to allow someone to tell you you're not very good at it, or to allow someone to say, God has really gifted you in this. You should let God use this in your life. And then wisdom. The ability to sort through information, facts, and data and serve God in the midst of it. And if you're looking around this morning and you see someone who's older than you, I'm going to tell you, they have wisdom that they can give you because they have already had experiences in life that they can pass on to you and help you in that. As Christians, we should constantly be looking to people in the church for advice and guidance and prayer in our life. But there are some people who are naturally, spiritually gifted in wisdom that is beyond just common understanding of experiences in life. And if you can find those people and develop relationships with them and pull from them, they will help you incredibly. It is a great resource to be able to pull from. We all need wisdom. When you look at the story of Solomon, it tells us how important wisdom is, both in the world and in our relationship in serving the Lord and doing what He's called us to do. Wisdom is super important. And this is a good list. That was the last one. And some of these overlap. And again, I want to encourage you guys to take these things and just think about them and pray about them and be careful, because you're going to naturally be drawn to some because that's what you want or desire. And there are going to be some things that God has just naturally gifted you to do. But the thing is we have to step out on faith and allow God to work and move through us so that we can have the opportunity for people to affirm these things in our life. You with me this morning? Some of you in here, you're terrified, absolutely terrified to step out on faith and see if God can use you in this because you're afraid of failure. But we can't be afraid of failure. Can I get somebody to get me some water? Point number two. You have to be willing to witness. If you never do it, you never try it, you're never going to reach anybody. You got to be willing to step out there in faith and do this thing. You got to be willing to go out there and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 says, "So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news." Thank you, sir. Give this handsome young man a hand. Did great. Thank you. No, thank you, Luke. I really appreciate it. So, Timothy, or Paul talks about this with Timothy. He's saying, look, like, you can't be ashamed to do this. You can't be afraid of failure. You can't be afraid of messing something up. There comes a point in time where you have to step out in faith and just do it. There's so many of us who are just scared. We're scared to talk to people. I mean, can I be honest with you? Sitting down and talking with somebody about Jesus Christ is one of the most awkward and painful things I've ever had to do in my life. It is. It's so much easier because I get to prepare this all week long. Like, I get to look at this and read over it and practice it. And, you know, I'm kind of prepared when I stand up. This is easier than just sitting down with someone and saying, hey, are you right with Jesus Christ? You are invading the very depths of who they are. You could not ask a more personal and invasive question than if someone is right with Jesus, if they believe in him, are they saved? Because when you begin to ask that question, you're invading every aspect of their life. Their sins, their habits, their commitments, their daily lives, their rituals, what they believe in, who they are, their relationships, it affects everything. You couldn't ask anything that's any more personal. And it's super weird. And it's super uncomfortable. But we got to be willing to do it. I told you earlier, believe it or not, I'm not gifted in this. Jesus did not bless me with the gift of evangelism. I remember going on mission trips in Puerto Rico. And this was the first time we ever went and we did street ministry and we did cold turkey evangelism, where you just went up to complete strangers and you, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? Super weird, all right? I mean, it was the most uncomfortable thing I've ever done in my entire life. And I was not good at it. I had no success whatsoever. In the several years that we did this, I had no success at all. And I can remember sitting there one day, because there's this one, and we talk about this a lot, me and Greg and some other ones. There's this one guy who's sitting down with this homeless man, and he bought him a milkshake, and they're sitting there talking, and they're talking about Christ and his faith, and he's praying with this guy. I mean, it's this really incredible, intimate, spiritual moment that we're all standing back, like at a distance of, I don't know, it's pretty far away. We're trying not to invade and be noticeable, but we're all watching, because here's this one guy who has this incredible moment with this guy, and he's ministering to him. And I remember sitting there thinking, like, God, why can't I do that? What is wrong with me? Like, am I not spiritually mature enough? Do I not know? Like, what's going on? And it's just one of those things over the years, I realized I'm not gifted in evangelism of just going up and talking to somebody about Jesus Christ. But what I am gifted in is building relationships with people. And some of you may be sitting here saying, well, you've never built a relationship with me. I can't do it with everybody. There's not enough of me to build a relationship with every single person on earth. God has gifted me with the ability to build relationships with certain people in certain times and places. And what I've discovered is, for me personally, that I'm super gifted with the ability to build long-lasting relationships so that I can eventually, at some point in time, have that conversation with somebody. And so there are people that I've ministered to and witnessed to and talked to and invested in their life. There's one guy in Chesney right now that I've been hanging around for the past 4 or 5 years and just been building relationship with him, for the opportunity that one day we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about Jesus, like, legit. Sit down and talk about his faith, his relationship with the Lord. He claims to be a Christian. He's not really involved in church. He claims to be a Christian, but there's not a whole lot else going on. We're going to have that conversation one day. I believe that. But I'm committed in my life to maintain those legitimate relationships for the long haul so that eventually, like, you can wear them down. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but, like, you know, it doesn't matter how hard a rock is, eventually water can wear it down. Anything can be eroded given enough time. It's amazing when you look at life, at people that you've ministered to 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago that remember that and eventually come back to it. You have to be committed in your life. Some of you are sitting here today and you're gifted in cold turkey evangelism. Like, God's given you the ability to just walk up to a complete stranger and tell them about Jesus, and you could see people get saved from that. Some of you aren't. I'm not gifted that way. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that one's more important than the other. But you have to understand what God has gifted you in. For some of you, God has put you in a place and in a time for someone right now in this moment. There's some of you who are in class with people that Christ wants you to reach. Some of you are at a job working with someone that Christ wants you to reach. Some of you are living in a life right now where you have time to give. And this is going to give you the ability to make a connection with someone out there because you have time to devote to them to be able to reach them.